Well, hey, we all made it out this morning. Praise the Lord. I didn't even need to get the dogs out this morning, so amen, amen. Well, you know, I just want to wish somebody a happy birthday this morning. Her initials are Melissa Judd, so if you wanted to wish her a happy birthday sometime. So happy 24th birthday. We wish her a happy 24th birthday, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She's 24 and she looks 18, so praise the Lord. Anyway, I just saw it today on Facebook, so I thought I'd just, you know, and if yours comes up, I will embarrass you. So anyway, like yesterday we went to, and I'm always, we have one of the girls' birthdays or something, we're out and about or something, I'll say something, if it's their birthday, I'll say, it's her birthday. Do you guys do anything here that's really super embarrassing we can do, you know, every time? So anyway. Anyway, so it's a happy birthday. Well, anyway, but I do want to kind of, before we let the kids go, I think it's very interesting about the why question, because I've talked about this before. It's very important, you know, especially when I was young in the Lord, the why question, why did this happen? Why did that happen? And I began to stop that 2 years ago, because what happens is when you get stuck in the why question, then you begin creating your own doctrine. And then, you know, then you become, well, this happened because of this, and this is why this happened. No, we can't do that. If it's not biblical, if we don't have certain, so it's always good to stay away from that. And I have had ridiculous things, especially in, it seems like funerals, that these ridiculous things come up, you know. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, you know, I have family members that drank like a fish and smoked like a chimney, and then the preacher's up there, well, you know, God just took them. No, they drank and smoked, and they got cancer, and that's it, right? I mean, we can just kind of, let's just chalk it up, right? I mean, bad things happen. They did bad things. Whatever you sow, you reap, okay? And other times, I don't know why things happen. I don't know why, okay? Tragic things happen, or things happen to people. I don't know, and I'm not going to make it up either, right? It's okay to say, I don't know. Because what's going to happen is if I create doctrines, why? Then people begin to become hard-hearted towards God, and that's not what we want. Because he is a good God, right? But all I know is I can stand on the word, and that John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and more abundantly. The devil does bad things, and God does good things. Kids, we'll let you go. Have a good time. Have a great time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. We'll start there. How's that sound? That sounds like a great place to go, isn't it? Yeah. We'll just, that sounds like a good place. My French accent isn't very good today. It was amazing, I know. We're going to talk about overcoming offense this morning. You know, any time in our lives we can experience offense, I always like to say this, we're always presented with offense. Doesn't mean we need to get into offense. Reading out of the NIV today, if I speak, again, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Basically, I'm just noise. I'm just trying to do good things. I'm just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing. If I give all the possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, and I do not have love, I've gained nothing. You know, that's where we separate works from everything else. If any time in the body of Christ, if anything we do is not motivated out of love, then we're in error. And that's why, you know, interesting Friday night and some of the videos we've been watching, you know, and I've dealt with this too, doing street evangelism over the years, that, you know, sometimes when I bring, we'll just say this, I've been in situations where they've been very hostile because of religious people trying to do evangelism around me. And it's not motivated of love. Now, they may have good intentions in trying to do the right thing, but I remember, you know, being in New Orleans and being off of Jackson Square and, you know, off the French Quarters there, and I would be talking to people and you know, talking about the love of God, and God wants them to. And then down there, somebody has a bullhorn down the street from us. You're going to hell. Let me just say this. When I was in the bar, I knew I was dirt. I didn't need anybody telling me I was a scumbag, right? When I was lost in sin, right? And I'm sinning all the time. I don't need somebody to tell me that I'm a dirtbag. I already know that I am because I have what's called sin consciousness. I knew I was doing wrong. You can be an absolute heathen and you know your actions are wrong. Nobody wants to be a drug addict. I mean, you know, they don't have that on one of the career choices, you know, when you're ready to, you know. Barry probably hasn't seen that on, you know, any of his, you know, teachers' meetings, and that's not on one of the options for a career. Hey, I'm gonna deal crack. I think I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a crack dealer. A nice crack dealer, you know. I'm going to be polite and, you know. No, that's not one of the things, is it? You know? No, people know that they're wrong. We don't need to, you know, these people that are prostitutes and everything in these countries and they're drug dealers and they're doing things, they know they're wrong. They don't need somebody to tell them wrong. They need a way out. When I go to get my car worked on, did you know your car isn't running right? Really, Einstein? That's why I brought it here, because I need help. Hello, you know, Captain Obvious. You know, give me a break. Are you kidding me? So again, what is the thing that the world is absent from? Love. Now, there's lust, and then there's love. There's conditional love the world has. You know, you do these things for me. I do these things for you. It's all. What's in it for me? But I will say this, you know, the enemy will come to set up traps along the way in your life journey. You just have to recognize it. Like, for example, some people, addiction, disobedience, rebellion, lust, offense, whatever it is. You know, after a while, you've been walking with the Lord for a while, you begin to see patterns the enemy will come along. And he'll, you know, put things in your path. You begin to see the patterns of the enemy in your life. And then after a while, when we mature, you just see those things. Matthew 11:6. Matthew 11:6. Really, the word for offense is trap. It's an entrapment. Offense is trap, to trap something. And that's really what this is. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, offended in me. You know, over the years, Jesus has told me things and I'm just like, you know, spoke to me, the Holy Ghost has said things to me, and I'm just thinking, I got offended when he wanted me to go to Bible college. I'm like, I ain't going to Bible college. That's just it. I remember there were like 3 weeks where, you know, it's just so funny because you tell God no or something like that, and he always has these little things just to, I don't want to go to Bible college. I'm not, you know, I already went to college. I don't want to know the college. I don't want to go again. I don't want to, you know. And then I'd have about 3 o'clock in the morning, be laying in bed, and bing, wide awake. You're going to go to Rhema. Oh, well, thank you for waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? Yeah, that happened like every other night for about 3 weeks, you know? And then finally, they're just things, you know, and I could get offended with God of, you know, anger. And, people, they get offended with God. You know, we can get offended with people. People get offended with God. How many people have left church? How many people have, you know, gave up on God because, you know, things didn't go their way? Matthew chapter 13. Offense is going to destroy, because what happens is it's going to keep you somewhere. And really, let's just say this. Offense, you know, people who are offended, often it's because of hurt, insecurity, some other things that have happened to you that you react in a certain way. I mean, the world is all about offense. I was at somewhere yesterday, and I saw, we were just there last night, skating.
Oh, yeah.
It was 80s night, you know, people were all dressed up. I'm like, I didn't know it was Halloween tonight. Wow. These gals, you know, have all these gloves here, pink and everything, and crimped hair, and yeah, they're all skating around. Wow, I forgot my costume at home. But anyway, this guy I used to work with was there. I was talking with her. Adrian and I were kind of just visiting with her. And she goes, you know, I'm really offended. And I'm like, well, shock, you're from the world. So, yeah, they're doing this, and these people are doing this, and these people are doing this. I'm going to go tell somebody. You go, girl. You go. Well, again, offense is really, if we're really settled in God, was it really, you know, and I was like too, you know, on the other side when we're in heaven, if you can't get along with people and you don't like walking in love with people, you're really not going to like heaven. I mean, it's all about the love walk, you know. It's all about, yeah. So Jesus here talks about the four soil types. I'll get it out. I can say it in tongues. But we'll get it out. But, you know, Jesus here is talking about, now there's a couple of different places he talks about this recorded. One is in Mark chapter 4 and then Matthew chapter 13. I like this one, the way that Matthew talks about this in Matthew chapter 13. And he's talking about the four soil types here, okay? Now, verse 1, it says, later that same day, Jesus left the house, and he sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, verse 2. And so he got into the boat, and there he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. So Jesus is, again, he's talking about sowing the seeds. Farmers out there planting the seeds, right? Four different soil types. There was, you know, fell on stony ground, good ground, rocky, you know, everything else that one either through offense and some other things that didn't produce fruit. Verse 20, I want to skip down to that. But when he had received the seed, talking about stony places, the same as he that hears the word and with joy receives it. Yet he doesn't have any root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is what? Offended. Let me just say this. We're all going to experience persecution, right? We're all going to experience tribulation because of the word. But it's how we react. Jesus is really sitting here saying, this person is offended, and then therefore the word produces nothing in them. You know, I remember, we'll skip down to verse 57 here, 57 to 58. And they were offended in him, talking about Jesus, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Or we could say offense, right? Because these people were familiar with Jesus and he couldn't do anything. What's one of the things you're going to find in your life that's going to tie your faith up, that's going to bind things in your life, is going to be offense. Not just with people, but with God. You know, Jesus' hands were tied because of offense in people's lives. They wouldn't believe him because he's familiar. Oh, yeah, Joe and Mary's boy. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Billy used to play soccer with Jesus, you know. Again, right? Oh, yeah, they were in the same class together. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he just lived like down the block from us. So it was offense because there was unbelief. And, you know, it tied Jesus' hands up. We see here, we just read that, where because the word won't work in your life because of offense. It won't produce anything. I remember getting offended with, you know, one of my pastors in the, you know, in the past. I just get irritated. I'm like, oh, I'm just not getting anything from him. It's just, no, it wasn't because he wasn't giving anything life-giving. It's because the scripture was true in my life. I was offended, so the word that was coming at me wasn't producing anything because of my offense, just like it says right here. And so, you know, we can sit there and say, well, I just don't get anything from that person. I just don't get anything from that person. Well, yeah, maybe there's some times, but on the other hand, is it because of the vessel that we don't like? You know, I had to watch myself when I was at Rhema. You know, one of my instructors there, Doug Jones, really kind of hit home with us that, you know, no matter who is preaching, no matter whose the word is, honor the word. Honor the word. Brother Hagin, I remember talking about one guy that would just rail him all the time, you know, always make comments about Brother Hagin and this other minister. And he can't, this guy, Minister Kane Rhema, and Brother Hagin had this thing he just really didn't know about for so many years, just had this question in the word. And he says, everything he taught was just kind of off, but he says, this one area he taught on was right on track. And he says, he completely answered my questions. Well, here's the thing. If Brother Hagin would have had an attitude towards him because of the things that he had done, he wouldn't have the answer. Right? I've had things before in my, you know, that are not necessarily spirit-filled questions, but there's just general Bible questions that I have that I've received revelation from Baptists. You know, a lot of Old Testament things, I'm like, yeah, I didn't realize that before. That's good. That's good. I can have offense from somebody else because, well, they're not from, you know, I had ministers before, friends of mine, they're like, well, they're just not from Rhema. Okay. Well, neither is Kenneth Copeland. Neither is, you know, Jesse Duplantis. You know, Rhema wasn't around in the late 60s when Kenneth Copeland went back to school. And he went to ORU. And Rhema didn't start till 74. But it doesn't mean that I can't receive from somebody. And offense and familiarity and, you know, Paul talks about having these in Corinthians about I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul and I'm of this person, I'm of Peter. So we can get offended and get ourselves in a little box, can't we? Offense and unbelief will go hand in hand. And let's just go back to this. The devil was offended with God, and he is the father of unbelief, right? I mean, the devil ultimately wanted to have his throne above God's throne, we say there in Isaiah. But he's the one that wanted to have his throne above God's throne. And then what happened? It didn't work out too good for him, did it? Mark chapter 6. And you know, offense, let's just say this, you know, some people, you know, like being have the tough attitude or, you know, I just remember being in bars, you know, and how, you know, people have these attitudes all the time, like they're tough or they have an attitude. I'm just going to tell her what I think. I'm going to tell him. Boy, I'm going to. See, that works in the world, but it doesn't work in the kingdom. See, we're using different languages here. The world system is about what I can get. The kingdom's mentality is what can I give? How can I be a blessing to you? How can I walk away from this and help you out? I just remember being at my play in the bars all the time and playing clubs. You know, no offense, ladies, but it always seems like women got into fights. You ever notice that? It was always like the women, you know. Well, he's looking at my man. She looked at me. You know, you look at me like that. It's like, whoa, simmer down there, girlfriend. Whoa. You ever notice that? The women are the ones that, right? Guys are just like, all right, let's go get another beer. All right, let's go. Right? I mean, they just punches out and then, you know, let's have another beer. They didn't care. But the women is like, oh, you don't look at me. You look at my man. Well, you look at me. She's not that. Right? But that's the world, right? Offense. That garbage doesn't exist in the world. Why? Why would the world want to come here if we don't walk in love towards one another, right? I mean, if it's just going to be like the world, then why would I want to step foot in the church? Hello? You know? We should be nurturing to people. Receive correction. Help from people. Love one another, right? I left the world for a reason, right? I didn't want to be around that junk. My goodness, it's awful, right? I mean, it was all about what I can get, how what I can do, make me feel good, and everything else, right? If you're going to supply, you know, meet my needs, you're going to do this. Mark chapter 6. It's just like my reenactments. Aren't those just awesome, you know? Yeah. I'm right. You can say that. Did you say I was right? Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What? The husbands get home. Baby, what was that again? Would you say I was right? Yeah, that's right. Adrian will say that to me. You're right. Oh, what? Could you say that again? I thought I heard wrong. Did you say? Whatever. Mark chapter 6. Jesus left that part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. They were asking, well, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? And then they scoffed. He's just a carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, Judas, Simon, and his sisters live right here among us. They were deeply offended and what? Refused to believe in him. Offense and unbelief are hand in hand. Offense and unbelief are hand in hand. I just, you know, over the years, I've had family members that, I mean, they're just victims all the time. You know, people I know, it's like, you know, they did this to me, and they did this to me. And, you know, for a while, I kind of had that attitude. And then finally, I'm like, you know what? Really? I mean, you know, if you're somewhere in life and everybody else has got is absolutely wrong, okay, unless you're in the church of Satan, then it's probably you, right? If you're somewhere, everybody's wrong, it's probably you. I was like Jim Hockaday would say, you know, you got problems with one or two people, fine, but you've got problems with everybody, there's a problem with you, you know? How can I have an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody? How can I be an opportunity? So again, offense and unbelief are always going to go hand in hand together. You're having sometimes issue in your life, Brother Hagin always say that too, you know, you always check up on your forgiveness, your love walk. That's usually, if you're not seeing things, there's a bottleneck. Now, again, I do like what Bill Johnson was talking about. You know, there is the mystery, and there are just things, I just don't understand why. I don't understand why things are, you know, right. I just think there's a whole other world out there in the spirit realm and some other things going on that I have no idea. And if God doesn't show me, then I probably don't need to know. Right? I don't know. And really sometimes if God showed you everything, your mind would just go, right? Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. Oh! We'd have a brain overload, wouldn't we? I mean, come on, think about it. If God said, okay, here you go. You're like, anyway. All that revelation. Oh. We couldn't handle it, right? And we'd have more questions than answers. And what do you mean? Why are that? No. No. We don't need that. In verse 4, then Jesus told them, a prophet is honored everywhere except his own home country, hometown, and even among his relatives and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except to place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was, what, amazed at their unbelief. Jesus went other places and he could do, I mean, all kinds of things were happening. What happened? The offense and the unbelief were hand in hand. Was there anything wrong with Jesus? No. Was the power of God there available to heal people? Yes. Well, God, I don't understand why things are happening. And the Lord's like, I'm trying to work things out, and it's just, you're not letting me. Luke 7. Luke 7, 22. You know, while you're turning there, I just know looking back on, you think about things, guys, and throughout the Word, you always look at God's goodness. And I remember being in just sin and different things like that. And I always think about, my work, like days just aren't going very well, or, there's things going on and whatever the scenario was. And I always look back and say, thank God I'm not there anymore. I thank God I'm not in those bars anymore playing. I thank God I'm not doing that stuff. I think I'm going to look back at what he's delivered you from. Think about it. I mean, you could be, I hope nobody's, but if you truly repented and you've turned away from that, see where you've come from. And then you'll be thankful, right? And what happens is sometimes too, and I always notice this, people get in the church, they get on fire for God, year or two, down the road, whatever. Then you start, you've heard it for a little while. And you get familiar with things. And again, familiarity leads to offense, which will lead to unbelief, which will lead to you eventually backsliding and bad things happening. Not good. So you can always look back and say, man, thank God for where I'm at now. Because I had an alcohol addiction and it just supernaturally was gone one day. I mean, I was going to church, hungry for God. Forgot I had a couple of cases of beer in the fridge. It was like 2 or 3 weeks later. I'm like, I forgot I had this in my fridge. It just fell off. Why? Because I pressed in to him. See, and I can sit back and go, things aren't going so well, this and that. And I can nitpick about things, but I can also look back, I could be hooked on alcohol again. I could spend a lot of money in beer and liquor, right? I could, still be in the bars and, be divorced and everything else too, right? And then all the other heartache that goes with all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Like, maybe I've gone through this. But you don't have to go through more. So that's the key. Well, I've been through a lot, but, No. You can fix it right now and stop the heartache from more things going on, right? Because the flesh just doesn't like one. It likes to keep going. When you get out of that cycle. Luke 7, 22. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way, this is New Living Translation, and tell John what things you've seen and heard, and how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. To the poor, the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be what offended in me. Now here's the key: John the Baptist sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you really the one?" And Jesus is going through all this stuff, and then later he says, Who's not offended in me? Not offended in me. Now, let's take it a little farther here. Who did Jesus say that he is? We are his body. He's the head. Now, not just in Jesus, but also his body. If we're offended with his body, that means other people in the church, right? We'll close with this here in just a minute. Psalms 119:65. Psalms 1. You know, when we are when we are in offense, upset with somebody else, it's like us drinking poison and expect the other person to die. It doesn't work that way. I always notice this too. You know, in the past, the people I've been mad about, upset with, you know, I'm absolutely in turmoil. I mean, you know, they're behind the scenes having a great time. They don't even care. They don't even know what's going on, right? And here I'm, rotten, strutting, that dirty, rotten, lousy. And they don't care. They just don't care. They don't have no idea what's going on. And I've just, or you know, you try to control people too. I've done that before. You know, I was like, well, you need to, no. I'm going to bed at night. That's your problem. I'm here to help. I'm praying for you. And I'm going to have a nice rest tonight. Because, you know, some people get offended and, hey, you're not doing what I tell you to do. I've had people like that in my life, but, you know, it's your decision. You got to deal with it. You made your bed. Or, you know, you get upset. I mean, as a pastor, years ago, I used to get upset with people. People would get in a sin or they'd go do something stupid or whatever. I'm like, what are they doing? What? Oh, just, oh. Anymore, I'm like, I'm here. You know, I love you, but, you know, go do meth, you know, if you go commit adultery and all these other things. I mean, I still love you, but, you know, that's something you're reaping, not me. And I love you, and I'm going to pray for you, right? So we can take on other people's burdens. Now, there's one thing of you're trying to help people, give them direction, you know, especially pastor, different things, you know, hey, this is going to hurt your life, but in the ultimate end, it's your decision. You got to make your choices, right? That's why Deuteronomy says, choose life. Death and life are what? In power of the tongue. Choose life. Do the right thing, right? We have the power and the ability, and the devil wants to make you think that you don't. Well, we do. Psalms 119:65, or 165, excuse me. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We're embedded in the Word. We love God and His ways. Nothing is going to offend us. Offense is always the gateway to unbelief. Remember that. Offense is always in the gateway of unbelief. And it's a trap. The word means trap. One of the Greek translations means trap. It's an entrapment by the devil. Because if he can get you offended, he'll get you out of unbelief. He'll get you into unbelief and out of belief. Your faith won't be effective. Your heart won't be open to God. And you definitely won't hear the Holy Spirit. I'll just tell you that right now. Things that I've been upset about or mad, offended with people. You know, well, God, I think you're calling me from this place. I think you're calling me. It's amazing how the Lord doesn't answer. Right. Like, I don't hear him. You know, I just hear crickets in the background. And really, the Lord's saying, okay, when you pull your Pampers up, and you stop, you're going to be a big boy now. Act like an adult. You know. The longer you walk with God, sometimes He'll jerk the slack out of you. You know, He'll jerk the slack out of you. Some things, you know, say some things or do some things. You're like, oh, I should have done that. Oh, and then He tells you to go apologize to somebody. I'm sorry. Those are tough ones to get out, aren't they? You know, will you please forgive me, you know. Let's have the stuttering problems, you know, right when it's time to forgive or say I'm sorry. Adrian, you... Nothing. Never mind. Forgive me. Right? Yeah, they don't. That doesn't roll off the tongue as well as, you're wrong. I'm right. How dare you? Those come out pretty easy, but the forgive me doesn't quite come out too slick, does it? It's like, yeah. Let me write it down. I'll leave you a note. I'll leave the other room. You leave me a note, post a note in the morning, and let me know what your answer is, okay? We're going to revert back to fourth grade here. I'm going to send you a note. You send me a note. It's okay, right? We don't like those things. But it crucifies the flesh, and God likes to crucify your flesh sometimes, doesn't it? And sometimes it's good. Hello? It humbles ourselves. We humble ourselves, right? Because if we don't, we'll be humbled. In divorce court, right? In front of a judge. Not all the time, but sometimes things can happen, right? And, you know, we don't want those things to happen. Heartache, pain, that's not of God. You ever those people in high school, you know, in school, that they're always happy, you know, always have all kinds of friends? You ever notice people who are complain, say dumb things? Like, I had a friend of mine in school, and I love him. He went through, he would say, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at, he would say the dumbest thing in front of a bunch of people to embarrass you. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those people. And, of course, nobody hung around him, right? But those people that are always, you know, nice and friendly, you know, it is amazing how people always want to be around. But our mission, the word says, make love our mission, one translation says. That our goal should be loving and caring people. And, you know, especially the church body, this environment should be loaded with love, meaning this, that no matter what kind of mistakes we make, we're always pulling people in the boat, right? Maybe you're not at a certain level and you're growing and you're developing. I mean, we're all growing and developing, guys. We're all growing in a certain area. We're all growing and developing. And the point is this, we should be able to have somebody we're pulling up, somebody and pulling us up at the same time. But it's going to be a love walk, and it's going to be staying out of offense with people. You know, if you're in offense with somebody, make sure to make it right, you know. And there's those people that they're not going to want to make it right. You love them. You pray for them. You move on. I get it. They're just those people. But, Father, we just come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for these people this morning that the love of God shed abroad their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Father, my prayer this morning is just these people to know how much that I love them and the Holy Ghost, you love them and you appreciate them and they're your precious treasure this morning. You're their precious treasure, Lord. And that every person that we deal with is your creation. Whether our spouse, our children, people here in church, out in the world, no matter what it is, that's your creation. That's your precious creation. And then we run into people that we just have mercy. You know, the Apostle Paul says, recognize no man after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. That we begin to recognize people after the Spirit. That we begin to honor and love people for who they are, but not for who they're not. We see beyond their imperfections, their mistakes, what they should be. Love them for who they are, which is a child of God. And that they're working things out in their lives by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Jesus, You know, if any of you need prayer, we always want to open up for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray with you. We want the prayer of agreement. You know what? God is a big God. He's full of compassion. You know, 1 John 5:14 and 15, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15, we can have whatever those things we desired of Him. Matthew 19, two more gathered my name, I'm in the midst of them. You need anything this morning, we want to pray with you. Amen. Or if you need to come back to Jesus, you've never made Jesus your Savior. You've never made Him your best friend. You've never experienced that. It's not just saying a prayer. It's a person, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, communing with you, being your friend, helping you, being there with you, having a relationship. It's not some religious thing. It's inviting a person into your life to make Him your Lord, to obey Him. Any of those things. You know, if you've never done that, we want to pray with you also. Hallelujah. Friday night. I remember Friday night. That was amazing, wasn't it? Great discussion. Had a time of powerful prayer, or, you know, ministry time. It was very good. Amen. So, you want to be here Friday night? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, have a great week. Hallelujah. Get your sleds out, and we'll get the dog sleds out for you if we need to. Amen.